Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, and Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I spoke to this Real Housewife before, but I didn't get an opportunity to do a one-on-one interview I had with my great friend Mary Ammons from the Real Housewives of D.C., and they were chit-chatting back and forth, and I was listening to them. But this time, I get the opportunity to at least get the opportunity to ask more questions, so I'm so excited to welcome the program from the Real Housewives of New York, Aviva Drescher. Aviva, how are you?
Hi, Neil. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, we're excited to talk to you and definitely to learn what's going on with you and everything and a lot of major projects going on. But I'm sure that this season's got you busy, don't you, with responding to every week of what the show's like, isn't it? It's just like a constant busyness for sure.
It is. It's a whirlwind. And even when we're just, you know, on TV, there's always a lot of work to do regarding the show.
And that's the thing, because you got to tweet out, right? You got to stay on top of your social media. You got to be able to respond to bloggers. You got to be able to respond to the media. So it just keeps going, and you keep busy. You know, when you shoot, you're busy. But when you're not shooting, you even stay busier because there's so much more to talk about. What happened this week and different things like that. But you have a lot of cool things. I remember when we were talking last time with Mary, you had what was really, really cool was you really have a book in place, and you were talking about, you know, finishing that up, and it was soon going to launch. So tell us a bit about it now that your book is finally out, and I think you're just really excited about that, aren't you?
Yes. My book is called Leggy Blonde. It's a memoir, and it's been out since February 25th, and everyone's really happy, and it's been received really well. And, you know, it's just always been a dream for me to write a book and write about my experiences to, you know, help people have hope when they're faced with physical or emotional differences or adversity, and to also share my mistakes, and hopefully people will avoid making some of the mistakes that I made. But it's been wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, that's tremendous. And, you know, going through the process of writing that book, that's got to be the hardest part, right? Putting down your whole memoir together and, you know, finding all the information that you want to put into it and, you know, talking to other people. That's the challenge.
It is. When you... It is. It's very difficult, but I also really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun because I started to remember things that I didn't realize that I remembered. So it was, you know, a difficult, challenging, but really also fun and wonderful experience.
And in the book, you're sharing all the different things from the beginning of your life all the way up to right now with the Real Housewives in New York and your foundational work and all these different things. So I'm sure that the listeners out there, our fans, are just enthused to finally know more about not just the Aviva on Real Housewives, right?
Yes, you learn about the Aviva that's not edited very specifically for drama and gossip. You get to read about, you know, everything.
And so we're seeing in the book, what's really interesting, is that you've gone through some tumultuous relationships. Tell us a little bit about going through that type of thing even before the show, just dealing with some of the ups and downs in life, and that's what you're describing in your book.
Yeah, well, you know, in addition to, I think, what everybody goes through, you know, breakups and love losses and divorce and all that, you know, I did have, my mother was an alcoholic, and that was a very difficult relationship later in life, and, you know, a very painful experience. She passed away. She passed away, and the cause was her alcoholism. And the book also goes into some detail about my divorce from Harry and my remarriage to Reed, and, you know, all of the management that goes into blended families and coping with, you know, living with exes in your life. Because once you have children with people, you are really, you know, glued to them for life because you have to communicate about the children. And so it talks about that and talks a little bit about some of the relationships I have with the housewives. And it goes to everything. And, you know, my brother said, you go just far enough. So you know, I took it. I'm a very honest, open person. And I think that you can definitely see that in your book when you read it. You feel like you're reading a very raw story that's not sugar-coated.
And definitely you have to do that when you write a memoir. People are going to look at you that know you, your personal relationships and friends, saying you really aren't writing about yourself. So you have to really be true to yourself when you write a book like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because when you don't, then basically your inner circle are going to look at you and say, what are you doing here? And then your fans will say, I don't really think that's who I see on the television or the person that's tweeting or doing such tremendous things. So you really have to get out of your comfort zone when you're writing all this stuff down.
It's true. It's true. I will tell you, a lot of people say when they read my book or see me in interviews or meet me in person, people say that there are two different Avivas. There's an Aviva that they watch on the show, and then there's an Aviva that they meet in person or see interviews. And I find that interesting that there's such a dichotomy between the two. And I try to figure out how to explain it, because I am very, you know, raw and direct in both. I think that maybe it's a combination of, you know, the editing, and also, you know, we as housewives, we know that, you know, just watching girls have dinner and talk about their, you know, husbands is just boring, or their children. And so we try to, you know, tap into the dramatic part of our lives. And I think that's what people are seeing a lot on TV.
Well, and, you know, the producers do that great job of finding when those dramatic situations occur. And there's always jealousy, especially when people who might have not been on that stage before don't know how to handle it, Aviva. They feed off of the new person, not the person that they were before they became a reality television star. And tell me, I'm sure that you've dealt with that with your housewives, that some of them have let the ego get to them and they're not used to having a spotlight.
The new housewives?
Yeah, any of the housewives of the brand or anybody that you've dealt with, when they get that stardom, they don't know how to handle it sometimes.
Yeah, I probably... You know, I think that my castmates that I started with, Carol and Heather, I think that they handled it very well, except that we all started at the same time. I sometimes feel like, and I, you know, tell them this to their face, that they take it all a little too seriously.
Okay.
You know, my cousin Fran Drescher, her ex-husband, Peter Jacobson, is a brilliant producer, and he wrote and produced The Nanny. And he said to me, you know, this is show business. And, you know, it's a television show.
Right.
And, you know, it's a show for entertainment at the end of the day. You know, it's not a documentary. It's not 60 Minutes. You know, it's not 2020. And I really take it as a fun game. I don't take any of it seriously. Well, some of my castmates take it really seriously. And I think that's sort of... I think that's really good for ratings, or I don't, maybe it's good for them, but I don't, that's where we differ.
Do you think growing up with Fran helped you in that aspect of getting in this opportunity to at least have advice from people like Fran and her husband about this?
You know, she's my husband's cousin, so I've only known her for about, you know, 11 years. It's very helpful having them, you know, in my corner and telling me, you know, what to go with. It's very helpful having them in my corner and, you know, offering me support. I think anybody in the public eye goes through ups and downs and a lot of weird experiences that, you know, they're very used to, and it's very helpful. It's very, very helpful. You know, Fran always tells me to give it all, give it my all. She said, you're going to do a reality show, give it your all. Do it 100%. And I think I've done that. And Peter, you know, her ex-husband is always, you know, just like, you know, it's a business. It's a show. It's show business, you know. He says, go watch, you know, the old soap operas, you know, from and pick a character and act like that. So, you know, and it makes it more fun. When I look at it as a business, and I look at it as a show, it's much more fun.
And some of your castmates or people that have been on reality television don't see it as that. They take it personally. They take the fans personally at times and not understand that it's show business. It's show business. I mean,
it is. Exactly. And you cannot get too vested in what your castmates are saying to you, or, you know, you can't, or in any of the, you can't get too vested in the positive or the negative. It's all kind of a bit of nonsense.
We're talking to Real Housewives, New York star Aviva Drescher, and we're learning about many different things about her book, Leggy Blonde, and everyone needs to go pick that up, and we'll talk about that at a certain point because we have another project. But I think that what will surprise people about you and your relationships with the other housewives when people get the chance to read the book? Are there some surprises in there or things that probably people wouldn't think, especially with what just the television show shows?
You know, that I really did, you know, at one time when I called Ramona and Sonia white trash, I felt remorseful about that.
Okay.
You know, that was, it made great TV. It really brought the ratings and, it was great, but I think it dragged on too long. And that's not something that I would ever do in my real life. I would think it, I wouldn't say it.
Right. Exactly. You know not to say it, and then when you say it in front of millions of people, boy, oh boy, it's like the shots heard around all over the world by you saying that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm fond of Ramona and Sonia, and I respect them for what they do and their craft on the show. And so, you know, I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. That's not what I want to do. You know, but, you know, it all made for great TV. So those are things that, you know, there's a lot in the book that readers will learn about me that, you know, they had no idea, and that will give them a better understanding as to who the person is that they're seeing on television.
Exactly. On our first show, we talked a lot about your help with your foundation work and the disability and all these different things. I wanted to touch upon the second interview more about some of the other stuff, but I think that's also the hard part, is to write down talking about what you went through with your disability and being able to overcome that and show others that you too can be fine from that.
Yes, it's not preachy. I don't preach about that in the book. It's just if you read the book, you just see that I just do it. You know, so you learn sort of by example. I don't like to preach. I don't like to, you know, help other people and talk about it. I just like to do it, you know?
You're a just doer, Aviva, that's constantly moving from one place to the next, shopping to visiting the doctors. I know you so well in just two interviews, for sure, about, hey, you're just going, and you're going and loving life, and you see this platform as an opportunity to help others. And I think that that's very important.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to go ahead and go into is specifically enough your other project. Tell us a little about that.
Well, so one thing that's very real, and I talk about it in my book, and it was shown on season 5 in Real Housewives, is my struggles with anxiety, which I believe were largely a result of my childhood traumatic accident, which took my left leg. And I... you know, over the past few years, even before Housewives came along, I was always trying to get a handle on it. And I found that medications often, you know, made me tired. And, you know, I didn't want to take medications. I'm really into health. And so I co-created a product called Tranquil Day. And it's an anti-anxiety product that also helps you to sleep, which is all natural. And it's composed of calcium, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin D, and it's very, very good for you, and it really works. It really, really helps calm you down. And I'm, you know, in no way am I saying, you know, take this powder and your problems will go away, but when you use it in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle and maybe some meditation, it really helps to sleep and to, you know, calm down those nervous nellies.
Well, that's important, because how your daily life, family life and things like that, if you get just stressed out so much, it can really be, it hurt you, but also your family. And you can,
yeah.
And you, you're,
you know,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
It does. And, you know, stress produces cortisol, which causes cancer and other diseases. And, you know, I went to this one doctor, and he said to me, if there's, and he was an integrative general practitioner, and he's a medical doctor, and he said, you know, there's one, if you leave today and you don't want to take all these vitamins I'm recommending and you don't want to eat this certain way that I'm recommending, the one thing I think you should leave with today is meditation. You need to meditate every day.
Yes.
And, you know, the point being that by reducing the stress in your life, you're going to increase not only the quality of your life, but the health of your life. And so, and that's what my product Tranquil Day is all about. It's about, you know, increasing the quality and quantity of your, the longevity of your life. And it tastes delicious, and it's a great, it's easy to use, it's great. And if you're pregnant, it's a wonderful product because you can't take medication when you're pregnant, so you can take this instead.
So this is definitely something for somebody who just, you might just be dealing with some of the stress, especially let's say after a pregnancy and stuff, and you know,
yeah,
how to get their lives back in order. It's not a something that's going to, you know, be a fix. Medication definitely is part of the process, but what a great thing in a way of,
yeah,
your daily life, especially at times when you're just so stressed out with life in general.
You know,
yeah,
whether you're taking care of just yourself, or a dog, or you're dealing with yourself and your job, or you have children and a job, you know, I'm living in New York City, which is crazy, crazy stressful. And then I've got the show, four children, all my work with, you know, new amputees and physically challenged. And I, you know, am promoting the book and writing the book and you know, dealing with all this press stuff and publicity stuff, which I never dealt with in my life. I was always just a private person. And I feel like if this is working for me, and I'm probably operating at a level 10, you know, stress every day, it's really going to help people. So it's another way of really helping people. I just can't wait for people to try it. And it's going to be available exclusively at GNC for 3 months.
And when is that going to be, the date that the product launch will come in GNC? When can you guys?
It's online now, and it'll be in stores June 15th.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. It's definitely,
yeah,
something, looking at something natural. And that's the other thing that's scary at times, is a lot of times certain things that are not natural can cause a lot of different side effects. And this is something that's safe and will help,
yeah,
you stay in balance and keep things going for sure, Aviva. Anything,
yeah,
else new from you, or is this that's a lot
I have
for
to
sure.
Talk. I have to run and pick up my 6-year-old.
That's perfect to say. That's perfect. So where can we find information on you, Aviva, and purchase your book and purchase the product? Where can we go?
You can purchase the book on Amazon.com or any local bookstore. And Tranquil Day, you can get GNC.com and in all the GNCs around the country for 3 months, starting at June 15th.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, Aviva. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Neil.
Oh, okay.
Always so great.
All
thank
right,
you, the best.
You are the best as well, Aviva. Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I'm so excited about my guest. And it's an amazing guy. And he's got a new album. So I want to welcome the program from Bone Thugs and Harmony. Crazy Bone. Crazy. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm good. Doing good. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you as well, and I'm sure, especially to your fans, to get the opportunity to tell what's going on with you currently, before, and we'll talk about the group and all that. So let's go, first of all, Crazy, and how you guys got, I guess, started in music. Did you always want to be a musician?
Yeah, man. I always knew that I wanted to be in music when I was at home. It was like back in 1984, and I was watching the Motown special. And when I saw, it was the one where Michael Jackson he performed with his brothers, and then after that he came out and he done his new songs and he performed Billie Jean. You know, and man, after I saw that performance, it was just like, you know, after that I was just like, I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. It just like something went through my body, just like some electricity. And I was like, when I saw the crowd react to him, and I saw, because he was one of my favorite artists before, so I was like, when I saw that, I was like, man, this is exactly what I want to do. Because at first, I used to sing, you know what I'm saying? I used to imitate, you know, all the groups like, you know, the Jacksons, DeBarge, and, you know, like all the groups back then, you know what I'm saying? All the family groups, me and my three sisters used to imitate them and, like, do the dance steps and all that. So I always knew I wanted to do music. That was always my first love.
Interesting. Once you see that the stage is your dream, you went after it. And it's interesting that I'm sure that some of our listeners, and especially your fans, didn't know that you wanted to be a singer. That's interesting for sure, that you started just playing around singing and stuff. So when...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I started off singing. You know, my father was heavy into music. My father could actually sing and stuff, but, you know, he never really pursued it. You know, he just used to, every time he used to clean the house, you know, he'd grab the broom and, like, just start singing. And he actually used to record himself, like, while he would sing, and you could hear the broom in the background, like, sweeping the floor while he was singing. You know what I'm saying? And I used to listen to his tapes.
So when you
know, and that's where it all came from.
Absolutely. And when you decided, I guess specifically, this is your dream, what about the people around you? Did they think you're crazy saying, yeah, I want to be an entertainer? And, or did they look and say, hey, I know you have the talent? Who was like for you and said, hey, this is something you should go after? And who kind of looked at you like, no, you don't even try it?
Well, at first it was like, you know, when you're young, at first, you know, your parents, it was, you know, it's cute, you know what I'm saying? Like when you like, you know, especially when you have gatherings and your relatives come over, you know, and me and my sisters used to ask that, you know, we used to gather everybody together, like, do y'all want to see our dance step? And they'd be like, yeah, you know, and we get everybody in the living room, you know, and we start, like, doing the dance steps, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but at that time, it was just cute. It was family entertainment, you know, but when I started, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. So when I got, like, really, really into it in my, and my mother and father thought I was a little, you know, like infatuated with it. You know, they was like they didn't really want me to go that route. You know what I'm saying? But my love for it was just like too strong. You know, and they understood they could control it for only a certain amount of time until I was, you know, would be old enough to like pursue it myself. And like, I was that deep with, you know.
What about your friends around you and stuff like that? Did they think you had talent to begin with?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Well, my brother was the first one to tell me. He was like, "Man, if you get serious, you could probably start your own group, and you probably can make it." You know, like because everybody used to be like, "I used to do I did a talent show in my choir class when I was in I think it was like the fifth grade, and me and a couple of other dudes we did New Edition." You know, and we imitated New Edition, and like everybody knew like that this is what I, you know, wanted to do. Because every time something about music came up, everybody would look at me, but like he can do it, you know. So it was very well known that that's what that was my love, and that's what I wanted to do. And everybody knew that I had the talent to do it too.
But growing up in I don't know what area you grew up in, especially with the religious background that your family had, there was a lot of challenges because, I mean, especially growing up in a family background like that, that to go out and go after this dream of being a star and, you know, surrounding yourself in the right people. So where did you grow up, Crazy? What area in the country?
Well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, the east side of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so you're a Browns fan then, Crazy? Because we're talking Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh, and that's our flagship station. So the Steelers-Browns.
We enemies, man. We are enemies, true enemies.
So are you pumped up about the new quarterback finally? You guys have somebody? Are you pumped about
it? I'm excited about not only the quarterback position, but, you know, we made a lot of improvements to the defense, you know, as far as, you know, we just signed Miles Austin from Dallas Cowboys, you know, and it's real, it's looking real good for us this year. Hopefully we can come out and compete especially in our division at least. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to come out and do some compete this year, because Cleveland fans is tired of seeing the Browns lose. We tired of losing, period, all the way around with all our teams. So hopefully they can come out and spark something in Cleveland and get us on the map again.
So what we'll have to do is I'll have to tweet you out when the Steelers play the Browns and say, okay, let's see who's going to win.
Hey, I'm actually already getting tickets to the first game. Still, if the Browns play in Cleveland, I'll be there at the game. I'll be there.
We'll have to see. We'll definitely see what happens. So basically, growing up in Cleveland, and I don't know how many musicians have made it in Cleveland. So basically, So tell me the story. Now you say, I have my dream. I'm set up. I'm ready to go crazy. You say, okay, I know where I'm going to go. So you go. And what was your first step in that process? You know, you say you know you have talent. Who did you, like, hook up with to kind of get it going?
Well, first of all, like, you know, after the singing, is, you know, a few years after that is when I was introduced to rap through my brother. You know, and he brought in the Public Enemy album and the LL Cool J and Run DMC. Like, he started, like, I would hear the hip hop, like, from him playing it, like, with his friends. So, like, I would, like, take his cassette tapes and make copies, and, like, so I would have them. And I started, like, listening to rap music, and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, and, you know, I used to watch the rap videos and, you know, like, see how crazy people was going over this new genre of music, hip hop, and I was like, man, I'm into this. Like, so while I would listen to, like, LL Cool J and Run DMC, I would want to know their songs so bad that I would, like, sit down and, like, sit in front of the radio, and I would, like, write the lyrics down to their songs. You know, and I would write the lyrics down just so I could recite them and look cool, like when the music was playing. So then, as I was writing them, it just dawned on me. I was like, man, I'm like, this looks easy to do. Like all you got to do is write a sentence and make sure the last word rhymes. So I started like trying to write my own raps, and from there it just elevated, like, people started saying, like, when they heard my rap, like, when I said my first rap to, like, some of the dudes who lived on my street, they was like, man, you ain't write that. I was like, yes, I did. They was like, man, that sounds good. You did not write that. I was like, yes, I did write it. And, you know, like, but from then, I just kept going, and I was known, like, in my neighborhood as somebody that could rap. So every time he came up, it was like, hey, can rap? He can rap, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, when I got to junior high school, seventh grade is when I met Lazy Bone, Flesh and Bone, and Wishbone. That's when I met them, actually, in the seventh grade. And we used to have I met them, like, because when they first transferred to the school that I was going to, I had a home economics class with Lazy. And then I had a English class with Flesh, and I didn't know they were brothers because they looked nothing alike to me. You know, like Flesh was like always tall and dark skinned, and Lazy was short and light skinned. So it was like, both of them used to do the human beatbox. You know, they used to do the beatbox with their mouth. So when we used to get little rap sessions going in the back of the classroom and home ec, like Lazy would do the beat. And then in English class, because I used to rap with another dude named K-Chill, and we had all our classes were together. And, like, so we used to rap together. So, like, in English, Flesh used to do the beatbox. So I got the bright idea one day. So, like, I was like, you know, I told Flesh, I was like, man, I got a class with a dude in home economics. I want you to battle him in beatbox. I want you to battle him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I set the whole battle up for the next lunch period. Went and got Flesh, went and got Lay. And then I brought them together. He was like, man, this is my brother. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, man, we brothers. I was like, man, that is crazy. I was like, I did not know that. So, like, ever since then, we started rocking together. Like, just, like, start rapping. And, like, in between class, we would, like, tell each other where to meet, you know what I'm saying? And we would draw crowds. Like, they would be doing the beats, and then the other dude would be rapping, and, like, we have a big crowd around us, like all the time. And then we became known as a group. And then we should call ourselves the Band-Aid Boys. The Band-Aid Boys. And, man, we get in all the talent shows. It's the school talent shows. We became famous in junior high all the way through high school. We was known, like, for those dudes that rap, we was known as the Band-Aid Boys. And then one summer, I think it was, like, the last year of high school, one summer we had decided to change our name because Lazy Bone had got arrested for something, and he went away for, like, he went away to juvie, and he had to move to Texas for some reason. So when he came back, he was like, man, I had a crew with some dudes in Texas, and we was called Bone Enterprise. He was like, but I made the name up, so that's what we should call ourselves now.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, cool. I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. He was like, but we all have bone names. And he was like, it was him and another dude. And his Lazy Bone name was actually Busy Bone at first. He was Busy Bone. So when he came, he was like, we should all come up with bone names. And at first it was just at the time when he came back, you know, the flesh was heavy into school. Wishbone wasn't really rapping with us yet, so it was just me and Lazy. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be Crazy Bone, and Lazy Bone was like, I'm gonna be Lazy Bone. So at first it was only Crazy and Lazy, you know what I'm saying? And then when everybody started seeing that we were serious with it, you know, Wish came around. He was like, man, I want to be a part of it too. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a part of it too. So he called himself Wishbone, and so. We met Busy in like 11th grade, and Lazy actually brought him over my house like one day, and the first time I met this dude Busy, like, he was just like, the first time I met him he ended up staying over my house for like two weeks straight. I'm like, man, don't you got a family or something? They ain't worried about you. What's going on? And, you know, he was just over my house just like 2 weeks straight. Like, he was just like a little kid, like a little lost kid, like, didn't know how to catch the bus. He was 14 at the time. He would ask, like, question after question, like, just, like, follow you around and just ask question after question. And, like, so he could also sing. So he used to sing, but then, like, when he got around us, he started writing raps. And the first time he kicked the raps to me, I was like, yo, that's crazy, and your voice go crazy with it. So he started. He called himself. He heard Lazy's old name. He was like, "I want to be Busy Bone." So we was like, "Cool, be Busy Bone." And man, that's basically how we came together and started rapping together. Like, and we was Bone Enterprise. Like, you know, we was Bone Enterprise at first.
That's a wild story for sure, Crazy. And you saw specifically, you guys had that ability that you knew you could be something, and you all were together. So then basically from there, who discovered you? Because we all know that's how it works. You get going, you try, and then somebody sees you, and then you take off. So who discovered you?
Well, man, you know, we had done all we could in Cleveland. We had even put out a local album with a local record store owner named Kermit Henderson. you know, he paid for everything. It was called Faces of Death. And, you know, right before it came out, you know, I had caught a case, and I went to prison for 2 years. And, after that, while I was in prison, you know, I was writing. I'm like, when we get out of here, man, if we're gonna do something with our talent, we gotta do it like as soon as I'm out of here, because I'm not coming back here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been here, experienced it. This is not the place I want to be or ever want to come back to. You know what I'm saying? So they was like, yeah, let's do something. So when I got out of prison, our local album was released. And we went from being just known in our high schools to known all over Cleveland.
Right.
We were, like, famous. Like, we would go do, like, local talent shows. And, like, the last local talent show we did, we were shocked because when they introduced us, when they said Bone Enterprise, like, the crowd went crazy. And I was like, man, like, I'm like, they famous for us? I'm like, man, we that known in Cleveland now? They was like, you know what I'm saying? And we killed the talent, actually won the talent show. after that, like, we were so high on that, but everything slowed down like dramatically after that. And Flesh actually went to California because he was going to school out here. And he was like, he was into the basketball thing, so he was actually going to school in California. And we got a call from him one day, and he was like, "Man, I know y'all been trying to make it, but he was like, I think this is the place y'all need to be."
Exactly.
And he was like, "Why you say that?" We was like, "Why you say that?" He was like, "Man, because I done been to a whole lot of parties already, and every party I done been to has been a celebrity at this party." He's like, "It's easy access to anybody, so like somebody can hear y'all out here, and you never know where to take you." So we was like, "How are we gonna get out there?" So before he left, he was a manager at KFC. So he was like, "I'll come back home and I'll go back to work, you know, and I'll work and y'all just hustle until we get the money for some bus tickets to come back out here." So he came, came back home, went to work. We hustled to get the money. We finally got the money for the tickets, and we bought the tickets, like one-way tickets, like not having a plan. The only plan we had was Fred said he knew some people that lived out there that might let us stay with them. So
yeah.
even before we got the confirmation, we had got the tickets. We had packed up our little one bag. You know what I'm saying? And we was on the bus on the way to on the way to California, not knowing what we were going to do. But on the way, but when we got there, you know, Flesh is the dude he was going to school with. They was also from Cleveland, and you know, they knew some people out there, a couple by the name of Don and Dina, and they picked us up from the bus station, and man, we ended up staying with them. They let us stay with them in a one bedroom apartment. It was them and their daughter. They let us stay with them for like over two, three months. And while we was out here in California, we was we was looking for any way to be heard. We even walked the Tone Loc House.
Oh my gosh!
Walked the Tone Loc House. Yeah, walked the Tone Loc House. We went up to his knocked on his door, and his manager came to the door. So we started rapping for his manager, and when we started rapping, Tone Loc came to the door. And he just stood there like he came to the door. He was smoking his little cigar. And he listened for a second, and he turned around and walked back in the house. And his manager was like, "Yeah, you know, I like y'all. You know, I like the sound. You take my number down, and then we can do something. So we kept calling him, but every time we called him, it was like, you know, he was giving us the runaround. Like, I want to take y'all to Japan. I want y'all to do this and do this, but it never happened. So one of the guys that used to work for the dude that we put the local album out in Cleveland, he used to work for him. He called us one day, and he was like, "Do y'all want the number to, I got the number to Ruthless Records. Y'all want the number to that?" And he's like, "Hell yeah, you want the number to Ruthless Records." So as soon as he gave us the number, we started putting calls in, like, every day. And the secretary at the time, she was like, you know, we would call her and bug her. And, like, one day she was just like, "You know what, I'm going to make sure he calls y'all back today. As soon as he walks in the office, I'm going to make sure that's the first thing he did, because I'm tired of y'all calling every day. He ain't called y'all back yet, so I'm going to make sure he called y'all back." And we was like, "Cool." So we, you know, hung up, and then the phone rang, and Dizzy answered the phone, and Dizzy was like, "Who is this?" He was like, this is Eric. And Dizzy was like, "Who?" He was like, "It's Easy Eats." And then, like, Dizzy just, like, automatically panicked. He was like, oh my God, hold on one second. And Dizzy tossed the phone to me, and he was like, "Grab phone, that's Easy Eats." And I picked up the phone, and I just got to rap, and when I sent it, Easy was like, "Damn," he was like, "What's your name again?" We was like, "Bone." At this time, we had jumped to Enterprise, and we was just called Bone. We was like, we Bone. And he was like, "Where y'all from?" We was like, "We from Cleveland." And then he was like, "Hold on for a second." Then he put me on hold. And then he came back. I could hear him talking in the background, like he went into a room with a lot of people. And he put me on speakerphone. And he was like, "Hey, say that rap that you just said again." And I said the rap again. And I heard everybody in the back like, "Damn!" They was like, "Who the hell is that?" And then so Easy was like, "I actually got a show in Cleveland in like a week." You know what I'm saying? We was like, "Damn!" So he was like, "I'm going to call y'all back in like 2 hours. Make sure y'all answer the phone." And we was like, cool, man. We hung the phone up and we went downstairs and told everybody else who we talked to. They did not believe it. They was like, man, y'all lying. We was like, man, no, we didn't. We just talked to Eazy-E. He gonna call us back in 2 hours. And for some reason, the lady we were staying with, I don't know if she was like, I don't know what was going on, but like, for some reason, she took the phone upstairs in her room, locked the door, and left. We was like, hey, what the hell is going on? We was like, this is crazy. Like, why the hell would she do that? Like, she locked the phone in the room and left. And all day, we out there, like, we hearing the phone ringing all day. Like, oh, my God, this is, like, we done missed our opportunity. We started to kick the door in, but we was like, you know, we ain't going to do that because we ain't going to have nowhere to stay if we do that. You know what I'm saying? So we remember, we was like, yo, he said he had a show in Cleveland. So we called the dude in Cleveland that actually gave us the number to Ruthless Records. And we was like, bro, Eazy said he got a show in Cleveland. If we make it back to Cleveland, can we open up that show? He was like, if y'all can make it back to Cleveland, I guarantee I can get y'all on the show. So we was like, cool, perfect. So we hung with the phone, man, and trying to figure out calling our family members back home and hustling up money to get back to Cleveland on the Greyhound. And this trip was, the trip back was crazy because we made just enough money. So we made just enough money to get the tickets, meaning we didn't have no money for food or nothing. So it was a rough trip on the way up, on the way back, because that was a 3-day trip.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So on the Greyhound, that's a 3-day trip, you know what I'm saying? But man, by the grace of God, though, it was like, and it was so crazy because we got enough money for two people to go back. And then we got enough money, like, for the other two to go back. There's only four of us out there, which wasn't out there with us at the time. So we took separate trips. Like, Lazy and Busy was on the trip, and me and Flesh was on the separate trip on our way back. So, like, it was, like, on me and Flesh's trip, man, it was, like, by the grace of God, because, like, every time we would stop, you know, like, food breaks and stuff, like, we wouldn't get off the bus. So we would just, like, go outside and stretch. And there was a young couple, on there, and we got off the bus, and they came and gave us $20, and we was like, thanks. They were like, yeah, you know, we notice every time we make stops, y'all never get off the bus and get nothing to eat, you know what I'm saying? So we just wanted to give y'all that just in case y'all don't have any money. We was like, man, thank you. We was like, man, that's God looking out for us, like crazy, you know what I'm saying? So we finally made it home. We got a chance to go to the show. We opened up the show for E, and then after Eazy went on stage, we had to find a way to talk to him, but he had his entourage with him. So we just blended when they walked off stage. We just walked off stage with them and blended like we was part of their entourage. You know, we just walked in and we got backstage. But then when they went into the dressing room, they closed the dressing room door. So we stood outside the dressing room door just like we was all scared to knock on the door. We was like, man, who gonna knock? We were like, not me. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. So
fortunately, Yellow Boy came out. He walked out in the hallway. He stuck his head out in the hallway, and we was like, hey, Yellow, can we rap for you? He was like, sure, go ahead. So we get to rapping the same thing. I rapped for him on the phone, and then Eazy came and stuck his head out. He was like, wait a minute. Is y'all the dudes I talked to on the phone a couple of weeks ago? We was like, yeah. He was like, then he walked outside and closed the door. He was like, so what y'all trying to do? What y'all telling? Y'all serious? We was like, man, this is our life, man. This is our life. We're serious. He was like, okay, so when y'all trying to leave? We was like, man, we'll leave right now. We ain't got no luggage. We ain't got nothing. Let's go. And he was like, he gave us his pager number, his cell phone number, and the office number. So he was like, y'all call me in the morning, and we'll make arrangements for y'all to get back. He was like, how y'all want to get back? He was like, y'all want to fly or take the bus? We was like, man, we take the bus, because, you know, we wasn't in the flying. We were like, we'll take the bus. He was like, cool. So the next morning we woke up, we paged him, we hit him up, and he hit us back and was like, okay, I got y'all five Greyhound tickets going back to California with $200 in Western Union for y'all. And And he was like, I got a couple more shows, but I'll meet y'all back in California when I get there. Man, I'm talking about, man, we lost it that night. We were telling our families, man, they did not believe us. They was like, y'all are lying. Y'all did not beat no Eazy-E. Y'all is not about to get signed to Eazy-E. Man, we was like so happy we left. We left and we told everybody, we was like, when we come back, we coming back with Eazy-E and a video crew to shoot a video right here.
Oh, wow.
And man, I'll be damned. And man, we went back out there, man, and I'll be damned. The next time we came to Cleveland, we came back with Eazy-E and a video crew to shoot Thuggish Ruggish Bone. And that was how it all went down.
My gosh. That's an unbelievable story, Crazy, and I think it again shows that you got to go after your dreams, and you did. You met the right people. People were, you know, slamming the door in your face, but you kept going. You met the right person, and bam, you're for stardom. And I definitely, we're gonna have to come back next month. I want to really promote to what today is, but we definitely have to have a part two. We got to go into after that point and move on through that story, because that story is so tremendous. But now, you have a new album, and let's talk a little bit about the new album, Chasing the Devil, and so tell us a little about that.
Well, man, this album, you know, it's going to be like, I've been working on this album for like a while, like since like 2008. You know, the reason I had to like release it because I wouldn't partner with the right people. I want to make sure, you know, that this album gets the attention that it needs to get. You know, and the album basically is, the reason I call it Chasing the Devil is because, you know, I've been in the game for 20 years and I've seen a lot. And I've seen a lot, and it's like, you know, like some things that we pursue is like, that I realize some things that we pursue, like the material things that we pursue are often put in place to keep us distracted. To keep us,
yes.
You know, like to keep us distracted from the real life, you know, and, you know, like chasing these. I understand, like people have dreams, you know, but like some people will sacrifice in a bad way to get what they want. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I mean, you're gonna have to sacrifice some things, but it's when you go to that other level, you know, that's not good. You know, like, you know, just like when you're willing to do any and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see people willing to do anything to make it, but like when you put the everything after the anything, you know, then that's when anything goes, and people lose integrity, and you know, they forget about their morals, and they just go after this stuff blindly. And some people don't even know that they're chasing these, that this is what they're chasing. But like, it's like the devil is sitting with all these things dangling from a string, and every time you get closer, he pulls it up to see just how further you're going to go to chase it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, so it's like, that's basically what the concept of this album is. It's actually a triple CD. It's a trilogy album. I'm going to release the three CDs at different times. The first one's going to be released July 22nd. You know, and they're all different titles. The first one is Chasing the Devil, Temptation. The second release is Chasing the Devil, Salvation. And the third one is Chasing the Devil, Revelation. So it's like, it's going to be like three different levels of it. And, you know, it's going to be a real informative and educational album. You know what I'm saying? Not just what people used to hear, you know, Bone talk about. It has a dark feel to it, definitely. You know, but on one of the CDs, I brighten it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, to take the darkness off of it. But it kind of goes back and forth, you know?
Right. And what's interesting is you have evolved in your 20-year career to now, hey, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going now. I see my story and what I've gone through in my life, and now I'm taking it and really speaking to other artists that are looking to try to be who you were and say, hey, you got to have integrity. You got to go the right thing. And if you do the wrong thing, it's going to come back and bite you at one point in time. And your story is plain and simple told me that. I mean, from the days in Cleveland where you guys, you took it in a different level. You took it as, hey, I'm willing to do anything to get there, but not everything. You didn't sell out your integrity to make it. You did what everyone needs to do, is which is say, hey, I know I have the talent. I'm going to go after it. You didn't go hang out with the wrong people or sign the wrong deal with some contract with some agent who doesn't have the integrity and soldier. You went after it firsthand, and that showed your integrity. And now you're trying to tell others, because I'm sure the, especially in this business now, it's completely different than 20 years ago. You know, people get discovered in the craziest ways, and they buy themselves stardom in certain aspects. You're trying to say, you gotta have you can't always constantly, when you're chasing after the devil, do the wrong thing because it's gonna come back and bite you. Am I correct?
Man, that's exactly right. And just like you said, it's a totally different game to when, like, we got into the game. It's way more people trying, because these days everybody wants the fast money. Everybody wants it right now. Nobody wants to struggle for it. Nobody wants to pay dues. And that's the good, and that's the thing. I'm for the social media and the technology that has helped artists, you know, establish themselves. But there is a good and bad thing to it, because the bad thing to me is that artists don't have that respect of the art, because they don't have to struggle for it like we used to. Everything for us was blood, sweat, and tears. We ain't got money to catch the bus to this time, so we gotta walk.
Yes.
You know, we gotta walk miles to the studio. We gotta go do this, and you know, it ain't like just posting a video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Somebody calling you the next day, like, oh yeah, I like your music. So these artists get in, you know, like for example, I have nothing against Justin Bieber, but you can tell that he really doesn't respect what he has, because it came so easy for
him. Yes.
He was discovered on YouTube.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he treats it like it's never going to go away. And see, he's going to be one of those artists, I hope it doesn't happen, that if it does, if and when it goes away, he's not going to know how to handle it. And that's when the drugs and the, you know, the spinning out of control begins. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, see, we had to struggle for everything, so we know, you know, like this is hard on like this brand. We went from being a group to being a brand to now being a culture, and we understand that took 20 years of hard work. You know what I'm saying? And we are not trying to do anything to blemish that or mess it up or diminish it. Like, so we understand what we have.
Yes.
A lot of these artists don't understand that.
Exactly, Crazy. So where can we find information on you and learn about where we can go and purchase the album once it comes out and follow you? Where's the best place?
Man, well, you know, I'm on Twitter. I am Crazy Bone. I'm on Facebook as the group, Bone Thugs & Harmony. I'm on, that's my solo page. I'm on Facebook, Crazy Jack Your Balls. I'm on Instagram, Crazy_Bone. And the album is going to be released on the indie label RBC. I've been working with them for 10 years now. I love doing business with them. They understand the Bone past, the history. And, man, the album will be out, you know what I'm saying, like July 22nd, man. And I want everybody to get it, because, you know, to me, this is some of my best work yet, because this album, I actually had nobody in my ear, no record companies in my ear saying, make this, you need to hurry up, do this. This is all me. So if it flops, I'll take the full blame. But if it succeeds, I'm the one who did it. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly, Crazy. Good. Fantastic. Well, part two next month, man. We'll reach out the end of the month of June to promote July, and we'll get into part two, because there's a lot more that I know our listeners want to know. Where did you guys go from there?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of a story. So good talking to you, Crazy, and best of luck.
All right, bro. Thank you.
All right, take care. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. I think we have someone.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Krista. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Fantastic. So I want to welcome the program. And I guess we do. Fernando, you got the big thing. We're going to have someone else be calling in on the line, too. I guess it's going to be a group type of thing. I want to welcome the program, Carissa Rosario, Maxim Model. Carissa, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic.
We are perfect.
And Fernando has been broadcasting for how many hours straight? I guess we're live in Spain right now, but you got to hear how many hours he's been broadcasting.
We've been broadcasting since 5 p.m. on, well, 5 p.m. here in Spain. I think there is like 11 or 10, no, 10 p.m. 10 a.m., sorry, in Tuesday. So
wow.
We're broadcasting for, I don't know how many hours, like, a lot of hours.
Well, can I come?
We want to make like 70 hours in a row, so without sleeping, almost without resting.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, this is going to be huge.
Well, and Carissa, we do have another guest coming in about 2 minutes, but I should text you back and see if we can get you on the line later if we have a in between. But give us an update specifically. You're doing some charity work, and then I'm going to have to invite you back on the show for a longer period of time on the Total Celebrity Show. But what's going on with you with your upcoming projects?
Absolutely. I have a new foundation that I launched. It's called the Ali Mo Foundation. It's in honor of pediatric brain cancer, and we're getting ready to do my first fundraiser in New York City with the New York Yankees this September. So I'm really excited about that. And I partnered up with Flex Watches. I'm the only female that they signed to an endorsement deal, but it's also a portion of proceeds of the watches go to my foundation, the Ali Mo Foundation. You can check them out on fluxwatches.com. And just a lot of shoots going on and working right now on a project of my own for television. So with God's will, everything will go through, and this year should be bigger than the last.
Well, so you're excited about a project you can't tell us about, Carissa, till it comes out, because you can't release that. So you'll have to come back on the show to tell me. But I have to bring you back so we can talk more about your foundation work and all these different things. But one other our Spanish team might have one other question. Tell me specifically enough, and you know what? I think we did get our other guests on the line, so we do have Kevin and Kevin Kiliani on the line. We're interviewing Carissa. It's kind of a little bit of a – so we'll start with you guys in about a couple seconds. But, Carissa, just because we got on so late, where can we find more information on you and learn more about you, and so that our listeners out there, especially all over the world, can donate to your foundation and all that information? Where can they go?
Absolutely. My foundation, the website is alimo.org, ALYMO.org. My website is CarissaRosario.com. You can follow me on Twitter at CarissaRosario and Instagram at CarissaRosario.
All right. Well, fantastic, Carissa. I will reach out to you. I'll text you tonight because you're still on the left coast. So if you want to jump in and later if during this whole broadcast, we might bring you back on again. So just be ready for a text, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thanks for being part of the live event. Okay. Take care. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.